Welcome to the Ministry Marks podcast. I'm David Haynes, and I'm joined by Thomas Majors. And Thomas, today's topic is one that you're going to have to carry the water on. As they say, you know so much more about this than I do. We're going to be talking about social media, and specifically, what would Jesus do on social media?
WWJD,
right? Let's see it.
What would Jesus do? WWHP.
HP?
Hewlett-Packard. What would he post?
That's what we're talking about today. What would Jesus post? If social media in the current format was like this during Jesus's days, what would Jesus post? And so we're going to be talking about what we know of the life and times of Jesus. That's through reading scripture. And then what we know of social media. And that's me picking your brain about social media. So Thomas, let's kind of get started. Let's do a very brief history of social media. In our humble opinions, when did social media get started?
I mean, I think it really got started probably in the 1990s. I mean, I can remember like the chat rooms. Chat rooms were all the rage back in the 1990s. You would plug in your computer to the wall outlet. And
that weird noise.
And then they would make that weird noise through dial-up. And the chat room that I used to get onto all the time because I rollerbladed was the one for rollerblades.
What was it called? Do you remember? Did it have a specific name like Nerds Rollerblade?
Yes, it was something like that. Cool guy, rollerblade fun. I don't know.
So funny.
But of course, you would go there to be social. You would talk to people. Yeah. And of course, you know, you never knew if you were really talking to another teenager or if you were talking to
50-year-old man.
Some 50-year-old man in Las Vegas or whatever. But that was chat rooms. And then, of course, MySpace, right?
Yeah.
MySpace, this place where you can make your own like little website page and people would go to it and you could customize it. And then you got Facebook that comes along that is the ability to put pictures, but also to kind of give status updates of yourself.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Twitter came along, restricted this to so many characters per statement. And then, of course, Instagram, which was mainly media content. So social media really is like user-driven content.
That's right. So whoever has the page or the site or whatever makes the post, they're the ones who decide whatever they want to say, whatever they want to post.
And the idea is that you have a platform, right? You have people who are friends or followers, and you make a statement or you post a picture or you put some kind of content on this site for other people who you know, whether it be truly know them or just know them electronically, that they were able to then consume that content that you put on.
Yeah, that right there makes sense. And Thomas, I often say this to people, and I don't mind telling you what I say about you. You are the techiest or the most tech savvy pastor that I know. And I think you would return that saying by telling others that I am the least tech savvy person preacher that you know. Dude, I'm telling you, it's all I can do to turn on a computer. I am not gifted when it comes to technological ability. My wife is really good at that. My wife is really good at social media, social media posts, and you're really good at it. And I appreciate you guys being so good. I benefit from you guys being so good. Thomas, you probably don't even remember this, but there was this thing called COVID-19. And in 2020, the whole world shut down. And at that time, I was pastoring Trinity Baptist Church in Fulton, Mississippi, and we had no online presence. And you came over and helped us out. You helped us order the computer. You set up the camera. You did everything for us. And then you were on the speed dial for my wife. It could be Sunday morning and we're in the second song and something goes wrong and she'd call you and you would walk her through what she needed to do. And I really appreciate that.
I think I even let y'all borrow one of my computers until...
That's right. You brought us a computer until ours came in like 3 or 4 weeks later. That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
We had been live streaming for about a year or two by the time COVID-19 had happened. So we were already in a good position to do that. And it's a beneficial thing. And churches are still benefiting from live streaming their services. All right. So I got a question for you. Let's just ask this one to begin with. would Jesus be on social media?
So I think the answer is yes. I think Jesus would be on social media. What platforms would he use? You could dictate that more than I could, but I think he would be on social media. So in your opinion, what would he use?
I'm not sure what he would use, but let me just think about this for a moment. Mm-hmm. I do believe Jesus would be on social media. Yeah. And I think I have a biblical argument for it.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. So in the Old Testament, anytime God does something supernaturally, not every time, but most of the time when God does something big and monumental, it happens on a mountaintop. And it's one of these ways that people gather around the mountainside and they hear this message from a person. And you see that a few times in the Old Testament, and you definitely see it with Jesus when he goes up to the mountain and he sits down on the mountain and people gather to him and he begins preaching the Sermon on the Mount. I think in our day, in our time, a way to gather like a large crowd like that would be through social media, and you have the platform per se to reach many people. So I think Jesus definitely would be doing ministry on social media. Now, the question you asked me was, which one would it be? I think it would be definitely for a word-based ministry.
So a word-based ministry. Okay, so is Facebook primarily word-based or not, in your opinion?
Well, there's been a big change over the last few years. I would say that over the last few years, Facebook would have been very word-based, mm-hmm. written word-based, mm-hmm. and Instagram would not have been. It would have been more pictures.
Yeah.
But we've seen a revolution kind of happen in social media over the last few years where it's become more video content. Oh, yeah. So I think what Jesus would do, I mean, if I'm just thinking about it in our time, I think he would record himself speaking.
Uh-huh.
And he would put that out there for on many social media platforms.
Oh, gotcha. Right.
So it would still be word-based. Mm-hmm. I think he would be speaking. He would get that word out in some way. I don't think it would just be a picture without any type of context or without any type of underlying message to it.
Gotcha. Okay, so let's think about that. In his content, what do you think he would, what would he post? What would he record? What would he show himself doing? What do you think?
So the main way that churches use social media today is through announcements. Do you think Jesus would make an announcement?
Oh, what would his announcement be like?
Well, come to the temple this coming Saturday as I will be driving the money changers out.
Yeah. or I wonder if he would take pictures of recent previous events, like the feeding of the 5,000. Would he say something like, wow, the Lord really showed up and showed out, man. We only had a few small fish and bread. And look what the Lord did. I wonder.
Look at all of these baskets that are left over from the food.
Don't you wish you had been hungry? Here?
Are you hungry for fish? Are you hungry for the word? I have both.
Yes.
So that one, I don't know if Jesus would have been making announcement type post.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, we today, I'm not saying that we can't do that. Obviously, Jesus can do some things that we can't do, and he can use, I'm sure, social media in ways that we wouldn't even be able to think about, too. I'm not so sure he would make every post an announcement post, but I do think he would be controversial.
Absolutely. The one thing I think of whenever I think of Jesus, and we read through the Gospels, you read through all of what he says, he was highly controversial. People in the New Testament times either loved him or hated him. They loved him because of what he was saying, or they hated him because of what he was saying. There was rarely gray area. There was rarely middle ground in those who walked and talked with Jesus in real life. Dude, when you look at him, the woman at the well, the woman caught in adultery, there were so many things that for that time period, it was extremely controversial.
That's completely countercultural to where we are right now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In our society today, people tell us as Christians, us as pastors, not to be controversial, to be people who see the good in everybody, to not talk about certain things because it might upset someone. Sure. But Jesus did that, didn't he?
He did.
I mean, you think about the Sabbath day controversies that he would have with people.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, man. The healing on the Sabbath, where it was, he told somebody to take up their bed and walk, and that went against the rabbinical tradition or the oral tradition or something. And they hated him. They put him to death because they hated him so much.
And then he would say things to him when they confronted him about it. He would say things like, have you not read?
Yeah.
Like, come on, buddy, read up, pick up your Old Testament, pick up your Torah and begin reading. Have you not read about this? So Jesus was definitely controversial. Yeah. He said things in controversial ways too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thomas, what's one controversial thing that Jesus said?
Definitely in John chapter 6, it's the difficult sayings of Jesus, right? Where he says something very difficult and the people begin to stop following because of it. He says that you got to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And I know that was ironic. It was controversial. I'm sure it was funny, like we talked about last time, but it was a controversial statement. And the scriptures say specifically, John, he says, people began to say that this was a difficult saying to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, another one that I think that we typically shy away from that Jesus did not was taxes. Taxes and to whom tax is received from. And Jesus would often say that he was not of this world, that he was the son of, you know, of the heavenly father, and basically didn't know taxes. But then he also told Peter to go cast a hook in the sea and pull out a fish and pay the taxes. So it's so very interesting what he would say and do.
So, and he was controversial or confrontational with people. And one of the examples that I can think of right now is when he healed the man by the pool of Bethesda. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, you remember what he said to him? He told him to pick up his mat and walk. Yeah. And of course he did. It was the Sabbath day. It was a controversy with the Pharisees and other religious leaders. But then he found him later.
In the temple.
In the temple. Mm-hmm. And he said to him, you are well. Go and sin no more.
So that nothing worse happens.
That's
right. Yeah.
So he was confrontational with people.
He was.
Not only did he say controversial things, but he was confrontational.
He was. And you know, right now, my favorite sermon to preach, I preached it on March 16th of 2025. I've only been able to preach it twice, and I hope to be able to preach it some more. But right now, my favorite sermon to preach is the riddle of John 3:16, or the riddle of John 3. And his whole conversation with Nicodemus was riddleistic in nature. He would say one thing, and when Nicodemus would be like, what are you talking about? And then Nicodemus starts to think in that way. And then Jesus, boom, hits him with a left hook out of. And so it would be so interesting to see what Jesus would say on social media. And then I think how he would respond. I think that he would respond whenever someone says something about his post. I think he would respond with something out of left field that would bring you back to scriptures and the teachings of the Lord. What are you thinking?
So would Jesus take some pictures? That would be a big question, right? Would Jesus take pictures of something that he did in order to garner interest? There's a part of me, David, that would say, no, I don't think he would. But then again, he did public ministry. There were 5,000 men. And of course, according to Lee and Black, they think that is upwards of 20,000 people that could have been there that day. And so that was a very public display. He was publicly shamed. He was publicly crucified. He was publicly resurrected.
Yeah.
And so I think Jesus would post pictures.
You know what would be interesting is if he did not post pictures until resurrection morning, and his first picture was of the clothing, the face that was folded up, and him walking out the tomb. Can't you just see him taking a selfie with the guards falling over, angel just arriving, door open, clothing right behind him, and him saying, well, let's see what happens now. That would be pretty neat. Yeah.
Checkmate.
That would be good. You know, often whenever Jesus did public miracles, he would instruct the people to not tell what happened. At other times he would say, especially if it was leprosy or something like that, go and show yourself to, you know, to the priest to get the okay to be in public with others. Yeah, I don't know. I'm torn on what I think that he would post. I think that he would take pictures. I wonder what they would be. It would be so interesting.
There's definitely a turning point in the ministry of Jesus, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think so.
And somewhere right around that John chapter 6, that feeding of the 5,000, the turning point happens. And then he begins to withdraw from the people. And again, that's the messianic secret from Mark, right? Don't go and tell, don't do this, don't say that. The messianic secret that we find in the book of Mark. I think, you know, at some point, Jesus is... he's garnering interest. He's garnering the attention of the people. But then when he sets his face toward Jerusalem, it seems as though there's a change in that. He begins to drive people away more so than he does to draw them in. They were there to eat the food, to make a king. But then he begins to say things and do things that would drive them away. I think he would do the same thing with social media. I think he would use social media in a way that he wanted to draw in a lot of people, but then also he would see exactly where they stood.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, there are some churches who do something like that. There are some pastors who seek a certain type of church member or a certain type of discipleship partner. And if you are not that, then they would invite you to go to church anywhere else. You're free to go anywhere else if you want to. And so there could be some limiting that Jesus would use through what he's posting. Oh, I only wanted to know the Jesus who was feeding the 5,000. I can see him saying, hey, we done with that. And if you're just showing up looking for food, ease on somewhere else. You know, I could almost see him saying something like that. So
we've talked about Jesus and social media and kind of theorized, you know, what would he post?
Yeah.
What would Jesus do? Now, let's talk about this from the flip side really quick. What about Jesus and social media? So what about pastors using social media to influence people for Jesus? What about quoting scripture through social media? How are some ways that pastors can do that today? And also, let me ask you, who's a pastor that does it well? Do you know any pastors who do it well? I can think of one that I know who does it pretty well, and that's Michael Wilbanks.
Gotcha. Michael Wilbanks is hilarious.
He is hilarious. So funny.
Do you remember that time he had half North Mississippi thinking he had a coyote living in his house? Do you remember that? Do you remember anything about that?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Remember that?
People were thinking he had a coyote that he thought was a dog and brought into his house. And he had people, and the pictures he was posting, there were like huge mountains behind him. It was nothing like North Mississippi, but he is so funny. Yes.
But one of the things that he does is like every once in a while, you'll see that he'll post. He'll say, I'm praying this morning. Do you want me to pray about something for you? Or if you want me to pray for you, like this post. And then he uses social media in a way that he can minister to people. Yeah, he's funny. He does some goofy things with Facebook too, with social media. But I think he's doing all of that as a platform and as a leverage for the ministry and for the name of Jesus.
Yeah, that's really
instead of just building up his own kingdom.
I got you. That's really good. So, dude, you know, as I mentioned, you know so much more about this than I do. So I don't ever get on social media or Facebook. Sometimes people at church will say, "Did you see what I posted on Facebook?" And I say, "No, I don't do social media." And I apologize that I don't. My wife and I have a page, and we use it just primarily to post things or to say things or to show little videos. My wife and I love each other, we think, and we love to travel with each other, we know. And so we often will put little things on there of something that we've done together. But yeah, but there are some guys who do it really well, is what I'm hearing.
Talking about Jesus and social media, do you remember when those pictures were going around of Jesus on Facebook?
No, I don't. I don't do Facebook, but please tell me.
It was actually a picture of Obi-Wan Kenobi from Star Wars. And they would say, can Jesus get a like? And it was a lot of older people. They would begin sharing it and liking it. But it was really Obi-Wan Kenobi from Star Wars.
How crazy. All right, so Thomas, how can a Christian utilize social media or social media platforms for presenting the gospel and furthering the kingdom?
The easiest way I can think of right now, especially with our media-rich generation that we live in, everybody wants to watch videos, and people watch videos on their phone all the time. Share your story. Mm-hmm. Just set the phone up and tell about how you came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
You know, the classic model of that. Tell your life before you met Christ, tell how you met Christ, and then tell how your life has been different since you met Christ. Yeah. I think sharing your testimony would be a good, powerful way. And we never know how God is going to use our testimony. My testimony is much different than your testimony.
Sure.
And, you know, your testimony is going to be different from somebody else's. When we're willing to put ourselves out there in that way, God can use that to bring honor and glory to himself.
Yeah. And you know, Thomas, one thing I think a person could do as they prepare for sharing their testimony on social media is whatever you do on social media, do that for the glory of God. Let me share something I noticed. This was a few months ago. I was watching a guy build a deer stand on YouTube. So I watched YouTube. I was watching a guy build a deer stand. It was probably a 35, 40 minute video where he was building a shooting house, kind of a deer stand kind of thing. And a few times in that video, he almost hit his hand with a hammer, and he said, well, thank the Lord. Boy, I could have got hurt there. And then something else happened, and he often mentioned the Lord. Well, thank the Lord. Well, boy, I hope the Lord lets me see some deer out of this stand. And just peppered throughout that video was just the occasional mention of the Lord. And I already decided, I'm like, this guy is a believer. He is a carpenter who is a believer, and he is teaching others how to build a really nice deer stand. And then at the very end of that video, the video, like I said, 35, 40 minutes, he probably took 40 seconds and just mentioned, you know, I've been changed by the Lord. You might have noticed that I said a time or two throughout this video, something about the Lord, and I want you to know a little more about Jesus, and just concluded it. It was so simple. And I thought, how fantastic. You know, some old redneck doesn't know the Lord is just watching this for the same reason I am. How do you build a really good shooting house, really good deer stand? And it was a small way to share his testimony. So yeah, I really like that. Okay, Thomas, there is one other way that a regular Christian can share their faith through social media platforms. And I think it is through posting scripture. So Thomas, if you were to post a verse, what would be one verse? Maybe that's your favorite verse to post.
One verse? How am I supposed to get down to just one verse of scripture? Well, I think I'm going to have to go with the Billy Graham model.
Okay.
And that would be John 3:16.
Right.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The reason I call that the Billy Graham model is because you remember it was said that they would ask him to do a mic check. Mm-hmm. And instead of getting up and saying, check one, check two, he would always say John 3:16 and quote the scripture. And they asked him one day, like, why do you do that? And he said, well, because if the mic stopped working, at least I know they've heard the gospel.
How about that?
So I think I would post John 3:16. If I could only have one, and you said only one.
Yeah, only one.
Only one. Only it would one. Be John 3:16. Yeah. What would be your one?
All right, so, okay. All
you
right,
can't
so
have John 3:16 now. That's mine.
You've already posted it. So I've just been running through my mind, you know, Romans 3:23, 6:23, 10:8, 9, 10:13. But then if you're taking that, I'm going to take the pastoral encouragement route, Ezra 7:10. I love that verse. For Ezra said it's hard to study the law of the Lord and to practice it and teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. We should study, practice, and teach God's word. So that's probably what I would post.
What are some things some Christians should not do on social media?
Ooh, I think Christians should not tear down each other, should not tear down their church, should not tear down their church family. I think they should not tear down other believers is what I think. That's one thing they should not do. What do you think?
I agree. I think it can be so inflammatory sometimes on social media, and things happen so quickly on social media. Something happens and we don't really have all of the details. And in that moment of passion, we may post something that is inflammatory that we then have to realize, oh, I was in the wrong. And either we either got to take it down or we've got to post something else. I think in those cases, we need to be careful and we need to allow wisdom and patience to rule.
Yeah, I agree. It's not good to be reactive. I would rather be a person who has a plan instead of just vocalizing something because of emotion.
All right, so the question was, do you think Jesus would use social media? After the discussion, what do you think?
I do. I think he would use social media for the glory of God.
I think he would as well. Thank you all for listening to the Ministry Marks podcast.